So we've been, over the past several weeks, I'll let the motorcyclist go by here real quick.
I need a gun rack more than anything else.
Oh, he needs a gun rack more than anything else. He needs to be fully equipped, he said. That way it's a true... I didn't hear it, so... Oh, it's so good to be in the house of the Lord. Over the past several weeks, and I've been thinking about this, maybe I've gotten some of it out of order, but God is faithful in the midst of it. But we've been focusing in on prayer. I've realized I have truly needed some of these reminders in my life. Even though I've grown up in the church, I've needed some reminding of the different things. And as we've shared earlier, it's come in different challenges, including what comes before us. But we've been focusing in on these dangerous prayers, simple understandings that should move us forward, because the problem for most of us, I'm not saying all of us, because I don't know where you're at with any of this. But I will take this in a personal way. I know that I have needed it because often I pray in a very safe, usually I'll admit it, self-centered way. I bring to God my lists, and I ask Him to bless them. I mean, think about the different things that we bring. God, you know, be with us. Well, His scripture says that I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we already know He's with us. God, keep us safe, you know, or the hedge of protection we've learned to pray. And I'm not saying that those prayers are not valid, because they are. You know, I always think it's kind of irony, you know, God, bless this foot-long chili cheese dog, tater tots in a Coke, that it may nourish my body. If we're praying for miracles, that's one of them. And yet, we've been reminded over the past few weeks that Jesus and being disciples, being followers of Christ, was never meant to be a safe thing. I believe that one of the greatest things that we can do in our prayer life is actively engage in these dangerous prayers with faith. So we've started out with these prayers, you know, of God, search me and know me. Test my anxious thoughts. Look in my life, and if there's anything offensive, Lord, lead me to the way everlasting. As a result of that, then we start, God does start showing us those offensive ways, and the next prayer is, God, break me. Break me of me. Break me of anything that would hold me back from an understanding of and drawing closer to You in Your holiness. Which then leads us into an understanding, because Isaiah, in the midst of God encountering God in all of His holiness, realized, I am a man of unclean lips, and I come from a people of unclean lips. And as God meets us and engages us in His holiness, it's not about our own righteousness, it's about His holiness. Which overcomes, as we come to Him, we respond with, God, send us. God, use us wherever You want to use us, but make me bold. In Your Holy Spirit, come upon us, make us bold, let us not step back. And today we're going to look at a dangerous prayer that came from a little kid. And in the life of Samuel, from the Old Testament. And if you don't remember who Samuel is, Samuel's mom hadn't been able to have a kid and was struggling and comes and prays, God, if you'll just let me have a kid, he will be dedicated fully to you. And she gets pregnant and raises, you know, begins to gets this child through weaning and gives him as she promised to God and puts him in the service of a priest named Eli. And in 1 Samuel chapter 3, so I invite you to turn with me there, but in 1 Samuel chapter 3, Samuel's maybe about 11, 12 years old. So you can imagine a fourth, fifth grader, somewhere in there. And he's praying this dangerous prayer that he learns. Now Samuel, as I said, he works for Eli. He's kind of a runner, does whatever he's told to do. But the problem is that Eli, even though he is a priest, he's one of the ones that's revered because of the Jewish organization of everything, Eli, at the same time, has not been honoring God in his own life. And he's been checked on it, but he has still not come back to where he was, and his sons are even worse than he is. His family is out of control. I mean, Eli's sinning and he's not turned his heart back to God. He hadn't disciplined his family. He is not leading well. And so one night, Samuel goes to bed. Or all of them went to bed, I guess. Yeah. And in the night, he hears his name called Samuel. Samuel. And he gets up as he expects and he runs to Eli's room and says, hey, here I am. You called me. And the priest is confused. You know, he probably was sleeping well. And what in the world are you doing? Go back to bed. I didn't call you. Goes back to bed. Samuel, Samuel. Gets up. Runs to the priest's room. Here I am. You called me. Nope. Go back to bed. Stop bothering me. Third time, voice of the Lord calls, Samuel, Samuel. And he runs once again to Eli's room. And I'm figuring this kid's like, what's up with this? Why is he doing this to me? But I'm going to respond as I've been trained to do. I'm going to go to Eli. And he says, yeah, you've called me. And Eli realizes something may be going on. And he says, if you hear your name called again, I want you to respond in this way. And so Samuel goes back to bed. And in verse 10 of chapter 3, it says, and the Lord came and called as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied with a dangerous, dangerous prayer. He responds, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And while it's incredible that God spoke to Samuel, I don't know about you, but I think even now, if I was hearing my name audibly from the Lord, I'd be a little freaked out. Okay, I'd be a lot freaked out. And yet here, Samuel is responsive to what he's been instructed, and God gives him a difficult message. And before we get into what God's instructions were, or even Samuel's response, I want you to think about how many times in Scripture, and maybe all the Sunday school lessons you've listened to through the years, and think through all of it, and when God speaks, how many times do you think he gives an easy assignment? Think about the stories that you've learned and heard where God says, here's what I want you to do, and they respond, oh God, that's easy. No problem. I mean, think about the examples. There's Noah. Hey, Noah, I want you to build an ark. What's an ark? Well, it's this boat, and I need you to build it, you know, by the cubit. What's a cubit? You know, the whole, there's a whole comedy line there. But he says, I want you to build this boat. I'm going to give you the instructions, and I want you to make it, regardless of what everybody else is saying around you. And I want you to build this, and I'm going to send a bunch of animals to you. And I need you to organize this and get it lined out. And don't worry, I'm going to flood the earth. I'm going to wipe everybody out, but don't worry, your family gets to repopulate the earth. And Noah's response, yeah, that's easy. I'll do that right after lunch, God. Or you get Jonah. Hey, Jonah, I need you to go and preach to what we know is the most wicked and perverse, violent people around. People you really hate. And I want you to share this message that either they are going to repent and be saved or they will die. Yeah, easy, God. Or Gideon. Hey, Gideon, I know you're hiding away right now, but I'm going to send you in a few men and you're going to wipe out thousands to save your people. My people. Sure, God. That'll be easy. Or a New Testament example. Mary. Young teenage girl. Hey, Mary, you're going to give birth to a son, and even though you're unmarried and a virgin, oh, by the way, he's going to be the Son of God. Now, that'll look great on Instagram, God. That'll be easy. Man, I'll be the coolest kid in town. No. God doesn't give easy assignments. His assignments to us stretch us. They're based on faith and not on the person of the assignment, but about who God is in response to the call. So if you have faith and you have the courage to pray, speak to me, Lord. When God does, I hope you know that God's response is probably going to convict you. It's going to challenge you. And he's going to call you to probably something that's going to stretch you and to teach you to depend on him in ways that you never thought were possible, because God doesn't call us to the easy. Samuel responds, "Speak, God, for I'm listening." And God's response was not, "Okay, now that I've got your attention, I want to announce to you, and I'm going to pour out all these blessings upon the people. People are going to love you for what you're going to share." No, he says, "Samuel, everybody's ears are going to perk up to what's going to happen in this situation of what I'm going to have you share. Everybody's going to take notice because, you know, I've warned and I've tried to get Eli's attention and his kids' attention and they refuse to listen. And so understand that Eli's punishment is going to serve as an example to all of Israel that I am a holy God that demands their attention." And this message is a huge burden for Samuel. Because I don't care how old you are, let alone God sending a young boy to do it. That is not an easy message. But that's why this is a dangerous prayer. We should never pray, "God, speak to me, for I am listening," unless we are really wanting to hear what he has to say. And while we've pursued these dangerous prayers, I believe that maybe in some ways, that, as I said earlier, that I should have probably started with this, because we need to talk about prayer from a bigger perspective in one way, specifically. That prayer, in its basic essence, is communicating with God. I think we can all understand that. Many of us don't want to pray different things, you know, because someone might judge me how I'm going to pray. We talked about that before. But the key for any meaningful conversation is that sometimes, and I'm going to say it this way because I need to get your attention, sometimes we need to shut up and listen. That prayer is not just, in any form of true communication, is not just one way. In other words, praying to God isn't just talking to Him, but instead that it's actively pausing to listen to what God has to say. And so when we pray, God, speak, for I am listening, it's a dangerous prayer because we're not used to it. And God's going to call us to things that maybe we weren't truly understanding that He might call us to. And I think in the case that so often is God wants to say, okay, you've told me how you want things to happen enough times. I understand the list, and you've kind of organized, you know, how things should go, but I need you to pause and give me a chance to respond because I love you so much that I really want to speak. I need you to hear me. I want to respond and to guide you because we need to understand God is always trying to get our attention. He's trying to speak. The question is, are we ever listening? If you want to get dangerous in your prayers and you want to actively hear God's voice, you may be like many and wonder, well, how do I do it? Well, there are a few practices that we need to start implementing in our life for us to get postured to hear the voice of God. The first thing I encourage all of us, and I have to admit, me, I don't know about you, but I have a lot of what I call ADD moments where I have a hard time focusing on anything. Because there's always something to do. Always somewhere to be. But the first thing we need to do is fight to be still before God. I realize this goes completely against the trajectory of our culture. We're taught that busyness is effectiveness. That busyness is successfulness. And God is saying, slow down. Stop. Pause. In fact, the best instruction I can give you is Psalm 46. It doesn't say, be busy and you'll know that I'm God. It doesn't, seek me on the go and you'll experience me. It says, be still and know that I am God. Counter to our go, go, go culture, we're told to stop, to be still and just take in moments. Think about it. When was the last time you just paused, shut everything down, and spent, let's say, an hour just trying to listen? Just trying to enjoy the presence of God, actively trying to listen to what He's trying to tell us. For us to really hear God's voice, we need to slow the pace down. Some of you are like, well, that's easy. But is it? We need to silence all the noise of our world because we're instructed to be still so that we can know that He is God. If we want to hear Him, we need to get quiet. Now, you may not hear an audible voice coming like Samuel did, but I do promise you, God still speaks. First and best and most important reliable way is that we need to recognize that God speaks through His Word. Amen. His Word is living. It's active. It says it's sharper than a double-edged sword. Amen. That it cuts to the quick. That it will engage us. It will speak to us. It will convict us of our wrongdoing and sinfulness. It will point us. It will correct us. It will guide us. It will comfort us. It will encourage us. It will build our faith. But we have to be people of the Word. We're called to be people of the Word who allow God's Word to actively change us and challenge us. But God will also and does speak through His Spirit. If we're paying attention as followers of Christ, understand that the Holy Spirit is moving. The Holy Spirit is at work in our life and in the lives of those around us, but often we're not silent enough or paying attention enough to know what's going on. And that's why when you ask God, guide me, direct me, speak to me, if we're silent enough and paying attention, it will happen. Sometimes in the most unusual senses or promptings, maybe someone's name comes to you that you haven't thought of for years. I will prompt you right now, when that happens, start praying for that person. Or maybe you need to send them a text to check in on them. Or a phone call, or even better yet, stop by their house. To actively engage. And I can't always explain what's going on, but I can say sometimes, you know, I don't know why, I just feel prompted to do something. I can't explain it, but I'm feeling led to do something, and you might wonder, well, how do I know if it's God? Well, let me just say, if you're prompted to be a blessing, to give, to pray, it's not the devil that's telling you to do that. If you're being prompted to be an encouragement, it's the Lord. If you're feeling prompted to reach out to express care for someone, and it's not just yourself, that's the Lord. But God also speaks to us through circumstances. There are so many times throughout my life where at the time I admit that I couldn't explain why things were happening the way they were happening. In the middle of it, didn't make sense. But as I look back, I can share of circumstances where opportunities opening up that probably didn't make sense at the time or that had to be God moving. And I sit back and I wonder, how did that happen? I still can't always explain things, but at the same time, God, as God opens doors, I think we ought to thank God for closed doors. Sometimes we can wish and hope and pray and all these things that we desire, and we want to force things and doors close, and it's good for us to acknowledge that in those circumstances, God is speaking and saying no. One of the best things I ever learned from one of my pastors was he said, you know, when we're praying, it's sometimes if we're listening and truly paying attention, it's like a stoplight, that the green light is God saying go. It's open doors, go after it. Sometimes it's a yellow light when we're praying and we need to pay attention because it means slow down. And sometimes the red light is just there, and we need to understand it's saying no. That He uses circumstances to speak to us, but the question still remains, are we listening? Because there are sometimes God-ordained moments where if we're sensitive and obedient to God's prompting, we will find that God is speaking And he may even use my voice or your voice because God speaks through other believers. He might speak to you through a message. He might speak through you to someone. He might speak to you through a song or that someone wrote, as Lenny was sharing, you know, where you just have these moments where God is reaching to us, and you may need to be asked this question: are you really listening? The bottom line is that if you're quiet enough to listen for God's voice, the better you are able to discern it through all these different ways. The more you listen, the more you recognize it. But we need to be still before the Lord. But not only that, we need to be willing to do whatever God leads us to do. Whether it's something about our own heart that needs to be worked on, or something that we need to go do, be willing. And I don't know about you, but my prayers are often kind of like babbling at times. There's times when I just come to God with these wish lists. And God, it's almost like this: God, if I were you, this is how I do it. And I think God laughs. But what happens? What would happen if instead of going just to God with our list of demands and getting up and moving on, what if instead we came before God and we said, God, what do you have to say to me today? What do you need to show me? What is it that I need to do? And then be still enough to not just hear it, but obedient enough to do it. Maybe God's leading you to ask, you know, how is it that I can be a better spouse? Maybe it's how do I become, God, a better employee that is defined by my relationship with you, regardless of the cost. God, maybe it's show me where you need to use my gifts, my talents, to honor you in your bride, the church. God, what do I have that I need to use to bless somebody? Where do you want me to be generous, God? God, who is it that needs to be encouraged? Show me, God. I'm listening. I'm paying attention. Speak to me, Lord. I come with this attitude that I'm listening. Speak. And then I'm silent before you. But it's not just in the asking. It's in the willingness to obey what God is calling us to do. Amen. So how do we posture ourselves? We get still before the Lord. We put it out there with a heart that's willing to follow through. And then we have to be ready. We have to be ready. When God speaks, make sure you're ready to do whatever He is calling you to do, because that's the time to do it. Amen. Think about little Samuel. His life has been fully dedicated to working for Eli. He's learning the ropes. He's not a Levite, so He can't be a priest, but he's learning how to serve in the midst of this, and he wants to honor the priest. And God says, hey, I want you to go tell the priest this difficult message. And he goes before him, and Samuel, Eli knows that Samuel's heard something, because I get a sense of, have you ever known you got to share some difficult news and you go really sheepishly? I kind of got a feeling that Samuel's just slowly walking in, probably head hung low. And Samuel says, don't hold back. I mean, Eli says, don't hold back. Give me the message. And God had said, this priest is not honoring me. I trust that you to have the integrity to carry this message and tell him that my judgment is coming. That he should have turned back when we warned him. That's not an easy message to share. But God never gives an easy assignment to anyone just to fulfill. God may speak to you and he may reveal to you something that, about yourself that you didn't really want to acknowledge. God may spur you to do something that you really don't feel qualified to do. And that's why this is a dangerous prayer. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Last week, I invited you to pray with me, make us bold. And we need to still be praying these prayers. Just because we've moved on to a new one this week doesn't mean the old ones need to stop. But this week, I would love it if you would have the courage to stop, even before you start the day, and say, God, speak to me. You have permission to interrupt me. God, give me the faith to follow through and follow your voice. God, and God may speak to you, and when he does, I want to warn you, you may want more details. But let me just encourage you, just do what he tells you to do. Don't ask for the details of all the different things, because that's not up to you. Your job is to do what he's called you to do. Do it by faith. So that's our assignment this week. Be still. Maybe that's a good thing for me as I head to camp. Be willing. Be ready to hear what God is trying to say. It's a dangerous prayer. Don't ask him to speak if you don't want to hear what he has to say, because he will speak. But the only thing more dangerous than praying that prayer is not praying that prayer, because you're going to miss out on what God wants for you when he loves you, cares for you, and has something for you to do. You want to be blessed. Follow God. If you want to be challenged, follow God. If you want to see God move, start to follow God. Because the God who loves you and created you for his glory wants to say to you, to do in you, and to do through you, because we are a sent people. That Christ didn't just die for you so you could be comfortable. Christ died to make you right before a holy God. And out of thankfulness, out of response for his sacrifice, we don't do all these things just to get ourselves pats on the back, to mark up little chalks to try and get ahead, because Scripture tells us there's no getting ahead. But by grace, we humbly and sacrificially live, because that's what Christ did for us. May we come truly before God with open hearts and pray these dangerous prayers. Heavenly Father, may we not come to you today just as consumers of the word. But God, we are truly here to worship, to bow down, to be humble before you. Help us this week, Lord, and beyond, to be still before you. To find moments where we turn off the TV, put away the phone, get before you, and say, speak, Lord. Challenge me. Search me. Search my heart. Break me, Lord. Send me and give me boldness. For you speak And may I truly listen. That it's not my will, Father, but yours. Thank you. And we give you the praise today. For it is in your holy name we pray. Amen. Go and be a blessing.